You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is Unbreakable with Jay Glazer, a mental wealth podcast. Build you from the inside out. Now, here's Jay Glazer.
Welcome into Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast with Jay Glazer. I'm Jay Glazer and got a Packers helmet here behind me. And it's not because we have a Packer player on with us. We have probably their biggest super fan, if you will. And before I get to him, if you're like many people, you may be surprised to learn that 1 in 5 adults in this country experienced mental illness last year. Yet far too many fail to receive the support they need. Carolyn Behavioral Health is doing something about it. They understand that behavioral health is a key part of whole health, delivering compassionate care that treats physical, mental, emotional, and social needs in tandem. Carolyn Behavioral Health, raising the quality of life through empathy and action. All right, so welcome into Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast with Jay Glazer. And I'm going to do something a little different here because I did this guy's podcast and he said to me, I want you to introduce yourself. So I'm going to reverse it here and have you introduce yourself how you want to be introduced. Go ahead.
Wow. Hi, this is Brian Baumgartner. I haven't done this, Jay. I've asked now like 200 people and I haven't even thought of it. Yours was incredible. Hi, this is Brian Baumgartner here. Go Pack, go!
Well, you obviously know Brian from The Office and so many other things, and I've known Brian for years and years. Man, I'm honored to have you on, brother.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here. I like who signed that Packers helmet there. So
here's what happened. Growing up, I would have my friends in the NFL sign things to my son to cheer him on in life.
Yes.
So this is signed by John Schneider and Mike McCarthy, and they just have little things to my son, Sammy, like kind of cheering him on, like, hey, you'll always be a winner, never give up, things like that. So I actually just found all these. My son's going to college in Arizona. I just found all these, and I have a whole wall over there.
Nice.
All these things. And he came in the other day where there's a little college girlfriend, and like, he never talks about it. He never talks about, like, my son grew up even, like, traveling at games with me, going to UFC fights, going to tournaments that my teammates were in, and he never talks about it. It's just like, man, so, you know, just how life was, and, you know, yeah, Uncle Michael Strahan, Uncle Terry Bradshaw,
Uncle Randy Couture, I love that. I love that. I'll tell you my story. Mine is in my office downstairs. But, you know, through golf, really, I've made relationships with not just actors or entertainers, but a lot of sports people, as you know. And I had a bottle of wine that Brett Hull, Hall of Fame hockey player, for his Hall of Fame induction, he made up, I think it was 100 bottles of custom wine. And he wrote to me and he gave me a bottle. I think this was for my 40th birthday, and he gave me a bottle and said to my great friend Brian, and signed it Brett Hull. And I think that the bottle number corresponds with the year that I was born. I think that's right. Anyway, talking about the Packers. Mr. Rogers, Aaron, was at my house and saw this bottle of wine, and he signed an old school Packers banner, like a, you know, like pennant, you know, like the thing you used to when you were a kid had on the stick, on the wood stick. And he signed it because Brett wrote to my good friend, Aaron wrote to my better friend, get your ass to Green Bay. And that's all it says. So they sit next to each other in my house here.
Where did you grow up? Did you grow up out? Like, how'd you become such a big Packer fan?
You know, really, it was about my relationship with not just Aaron, but AJ Hawk and so many other Packers players that I got to know through golf. I grew up in Atlanta and I rooted as a kid for the Falcons. Their history, well, they didn't have the same history that Green Bay did.
Jerry and Glanville days.
Yeah, Jerry Glanville. That's right. Back in black.
Nose tackler, whatever. Yep.
Steve Barkowski. Mm-hmm. Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Jim Andrews, running back. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah. So I started going to Green Bay, and because I knew so many of the players. And look, if you don't have a reason to hate them, you can't not root for them once you go to Green Bay. The sense of, we were talking before about community, the sense of community that they have, that really that family, that spirit that embodies the entire town is unlike anything in sports to me. And so I very quickly made a lot of other friends there, have continued to go back and support not just the organization, but the community there as well. And it just makes you feel good, Jay. I mean, it does.
First sideline reporting job I ever had was a preseason game of the Jets at the Packers. And
wow.
I went out to Lambeau Field, like I stood there. I really looked up to God and I was like, oh, Mike, thank you. My best friend, God Almighty in heaven, that I get this opportunity
yeah.
to be in this place. It's my first experience.
Yeah.
And it was, man, I started crying on sideline because I worked so hard and I got rejected for so long on my journey. And even that, I think I was getting $500 to do it because it was just for local WCBS in New York. But I was just so overwhelmed that, you know, I try and tell people the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is not you making it huge. It's the journey itself. It's all those things.
Yeah.
We never know. You never know if you're going to star in The Office. I never know I'm going to star on Fox NFL Sunday. You don't know that. So you got right. on your journey, you got to take all these other things that happen to you, and those that has to be the bags of gold that are sitting there at the end of the end of the rainbow. That for me was a huge pot of gold.
Yeah, I'll tell you the story about me going there the first time, and I look, I know it's cheesy, I know that it was put there for tourists, but Aaron wanted to show me around and brought me down into the locker room, down into the bowels there of Lambeau Field. And then the last thing, I mean, it's the topper is he said, walk out here, and it's freezing cold. There's snow everywhere, big jacket on. And we come walking out the tunnel that they walk out from the locker room, and he hits this button. And in there, I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but it's there. They have crowd noise on speakers, so he hits a button and you hear just this enormous crowd noise echoing through the cold concrete pathway out onto the stadium. And that was like one of the coolest things ever.
So I want to I talked a little bit about the journey being the pot of gold and the rainbow.
Yeah,
take me through your journey to get to is The Office the pinnacle for you? Is that like,
well,
Fox NFL Sunday for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can't think of another show. I don't think it exists, but what I tell people is, we were a big show when we were on, we were winning Emmys and going to the Emmys every year and the Screen Actors Guild Awards and all of that stuff. And, we were highly rated. But what I say to people is, we were never like friends, we weren't. Even Seinfeld, when we were on, we were kind of a niche show that a lot of people didn't get. But then this crazy thing happened probably because of streaming, because of the way that the show was built, all of that, that the show became bigger like 4 or 5 years after we were done. I don't think that's ever happened before. So it was like we were big, and then it like went to this other stratospheric level. And then, of course, sort of culminating in, you know, I don't know if you heard, there was this pandemic that happened a couple of years ago where we're all stuck at home. I don't know if you got, you know, if you watched that kind of news.
I have that on TiVo.
So everyone was staying at home and people were watching The Office again and over and over and over. And, you know, when those streaming numbers came out and everybody was watching it, it sort of rose to a whole other level. So, yeah, I mean, it's now been, since I started, this is crazy, almost 20 years since I started, and people are still watching it. They're still consuming it. It's still, you know, by some measures, the most watched television show today, and we haven't filmed now in close to 10 years. It's crazy.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Tell me the moment when you realize on this journey, oh my God, my life changed. Like, things are different.
Well, I'll tell like the idiot story first. Like, I had this teeny, teeny little house up in what they call it Beverly Hills PO, which is like above Beverly Hills up in the hills up there. And so I was the closest to the Beverly Hilton Hotel, which is where they do the Golden Globes. Oh, I always think about this story. And so everybody kind of came over to then go there. And this guy by the name, this was year two of the show, I think, David Denman, who played Roy on the show, came over and he decided he was going to drive us down to the Beverly Hilton. Now, here's what idiots we were. I believe David drove a Honda Civic, and we drove down the hill to the Beverly Hilton thinking we were going to park. Like, we did. This was what we did, how we didn't even know. And we start approaching and they're like, no, you can't get dropped off on the red carpet in the Honda Civic. Like, we didn't even know what we were doing. And so he pulled along the side of Wilshire Boulevard. We all got out of the car and he went and parked like a mile away and then had to walk back himself. It was like we didn't even know any better. And then later that night, Steve Carell won the Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Comedy Series. And it was almost like that night things started changing. Like, we went from this show that maybe they would give us a few more episodes to like suddenly 10 million people are watching till, you know, like everything sort of, hey, not only can you finish this season, you get another season. Like everything sort of began to change. So like that night sort of for me embodied like a humongous shift in how the show was perceived in terms of where my life was going. And it's certainly changed even more since then.
So no, that was the idiot version. Give me the a version where something happened to you where, I'll give you one for me. I went to the Emmys and I was in the bathroom and there was a bunch of big stars in there and they were like, oh shit, it's Jay Glazer. Dude, hey, what is, I had Jason Witten on my fantasy team. What did he do today? And then, somebody like, hey, it's play. And then everybody in there and I'm like, you know, holding my schwants and everybody's like, hey, and I was like, wait, let's just finish up here. But it's like, guys, I look like, holy shit, I'm talking to this guy and that guy, and that guy. And they're all talking to me about their fantasy football teams. And it's like the biggest names in TV. And I'm like, you gotta be shitting me. Like, oh my God, life has changed. Right? Yeah. So when did you realize that? Well, your life changed. Like you're not anonymous anymore.
Yeah, for me, I think it, I mean, similar to what you said, The Sopranos to me is my favorite show of all time. We were speaking about New Jersey and where you're from. And
it's how I grew up, but it's how I grew up.
Yeah. Happened there. And that was it for me. Like that was my favorite show. And I used to play poker and stop playing. I was like, I'm playing golf and poker. Two things take 100 hours to play. I was like, I have to give up one or the other
to lose a lot of money.
Have a family. Exactly. But James Gandolfini, before he passed, was hosting this event for the LA firefighters. And my brother-in-law is a firefighter and it's important to me, but really he was hosting. And I went and we both, you know, it was a charity poker thing. We both got busted out pretty early and we stand up on the table. And he puts his arm around me. And as I described before, like kind of like a very intimidating man turning to a woman at a bar and saying, he turned to me with his arm around me and said, you want to get out of here? And I was like, okay. You know, and my brain is going like, you're hosting the event. Like, where are we going? Like, where are we going exactly? And we went to this little bar next door and we sat down and had a conversation about art and about career, about being typecast, about, I knew at the time they were talking to him about replacing Steve Carell potentially. I mean, there were so many things. And that for me, like having like, and we were probably there an hour and a half or so. And then he had to go back in and like present the award to whoever won the poker tournament. But the experience that I had with him that night and going like, oh, no, my life is, this is, I never anticipated as I was watching the first season of The Sopranos, as I was doing theater, that I would be ending up here with James having this conversation.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
So on the way to get in the office, like, what's the process? How many auditions? How long until you find out this is really going to happen? And then my second one was like, when did you guys realize? Well, you told me already you didn't know it was a hit until.
Yeah. So I started out when I graduated from college. All I wanted to do was be in the theater. I thought, and, you know, I started having some success in the theater. I was a theater actor.
More comedic or more serious?
Really, I would say equal, but if it was anything, I shaded more towards drama and, you know, serious Shakespeare type roles. Wow. And was doing regional theater stuff, doing some touring shows, not musicals. And that's just what I thought my life was going to be. And had an experience where I was brought out to Los Angeles. And I know everybody in other parts of the country loves to make fun of Los Angeles, but I don't know. It was one of those times where I went out to visit a friend, and it was like the air was crisp and clean and sunny. It was probably summer or winter. I don't remember. And I remember my memory goes to Westwood Village, because the person I was visiting lived near Westwood, going to Westwood Village and this magical place called the Coffee Bean. Mm-hmm. And sitting out on the outside tables with just the hills and the sun and the air, like everything feeling so crisp. I was like, this place is freaking awesome. Like, this place is. And I really sort of fell in love with just the idea of being here. I never had a home. I will say that I had teams on theater, and I think that's why I loved it so much. You know, for 3, 4, 5 months at a time, 6 months at a time, you know, you would all be working together to do a show. But I was from Atlanta, and everywhere that I went, Chicago, New York, Minneapolis, Dallas, you know, San Francisco, and Atlanta was always home. Like, I never really felt like I found a home, sort of, you know, tied to a place. It was always like, you know, where are you from? I would say Atlanta, and not like where did you grow up, but like where are you from? Like, if I met someone, I would never say like Minneapolis or New York or Chicago or whatever. When I moved to Southern California, I was like, this is my home. And so I loved the place first. And then I thought, well, this is theater's hard work, Jay. I mean, I know you've done a lot of things that are hard. Theater is hard. I mean, you're talking about 8 shows a week. Your one day off is Monday, which nobody has Monday off. Spoiler alert. It's very, very difficult. And I thought, all right, I'm going to get a couple things in line. I'm going to get into Screen Actors Guild. You know, I was in Actors Equity, you know, just to try to have a baseline of I know what I'm doing. And then I'm going to go out to Los Angeles, and I'm going to try it. And I arrived into LA, and within 3 months, 4 months, I met the folks on The Office. And, you know, I know hard work is important to you, and people will say like, oh my God, you're so lucky. You're so lucky. But I'll tell you, my work at the time, so funny you brought up TiVo. I think I was the poorest person in the country that had the highest level of TiVo when I moved out, because this was before it was like, you know, it just sort of came with everything. And I watched television and movies. I tried to, because for me, it was like, if I get an audition on this show, like, if I don't know what's the genre, what's the style, what's the humor like how, like, what are they looking for? To me, it was like, you're just sort of shooting blanks. And I got introduced to a little British show called The Office very early on. And when they were going to make it in the United States, I went to my manager, who was like my manager for like a week at the time. And I said, this is my show. This is the, I get this show. I get this. I get this humor. I get what they're looking for. I understand that they're not looking for Jennifer Aniston and people like that. They want more normal looking people. Yeah. So I met them, auditioned, ended up knowing that it was close, and then it was this. Yeah, I think I waited longer than a person should have to. 3 weeks ish, and I got the call that
that's not so
that
long.
I got the role. No,
Ed?
When every day, and you know they're about to start rolling, and you haven't heard, and you haven't heard, and you haven't heard.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like.
My first full-time job was CBS Sports in 1999. I interviewed with them, I think, in like February or March to be their new NFL insider. And funny enough, it actually went down between me and Adam Schefter, who was the Denver Post at the time. And now, obviously, you know, we've been going at it for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think I got it because I lived in New York. But they didn't call me back until the week before training camp in July. And it was like, okay, so you got to start going to camps next week, right? I'm like, well, my agent's like, hey, you finally got a full-time job. Like, where? I'm like, and I was like, I'll take it. He's like, don't you want to know how much it's for? Because I was so broke for so long. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. It's a full-time job. I will take it. It was for 50 grand a year at CBS Sports. He's like, can you start next week? So I waited all that time and never heard back. And I always tell people, like, it's so hard to hurry up and wait. It's just, it's awful to go through. So 3 weeks isn't that bad for you.
No, not so bad.
Right. Okay, not but so when did you realize when you guys are filming it, do you realize, oh, man, this is special. We got some. Because I know, like, Seinfeld was, their ratings were, they were dead last for a while until, boom, people connected. When
we
did
were
you
bad.
Realize?
We were bad, too.
Really?
Yeah, we were bad, too. I mean, I remember, you know, we shot the pilot, wasn't sure if we were going to get picked up, got picked up, 6 total episodes.
Wow.
But when we came back. And so very similar to Seinfeld. When we came back, the first episode that we did after the pilot was called Diversity Day, some people's favorite episode. And I remember so specifically, Jay, being there on set and saying to people, man, I don't know if people are going to give this a chance, but if they do, what we're talking about here, what we're doing here is really, really special. Like I saw it then, how different it was. And it people didn't right away.
Right.
People didn't, you know, they go back now. Very few people saw that episode when it aired. But, you know, again, we did 6 and we came back and did 6 more in season 2, which people needed an insider reporting it. Nobody was reporting it. They just said the office was brought back and we were the only ones who knew. They only brought us back for 6 episodes.
Wow.
We shot them in the summer. We finished the 6 before any of them started airing. And then we cleaned out our trailers and thought that was it. We got to do 12 and we went away. So this was, you know, roughly top of September. It usually starts airing like the first, second week of September. Started airing, started doing better. And then they were like, okay, you're going to come back and do a few more. And then the night that I referenced before, that was, you know, January, early January, Steve won the Golden Globe. The Christmas episode went bonkers. People just went crazy for it. And they were like, okay, you can come back and finish this season, which I think was another 10 or something more. And then like a week later, they gave us a whole other year.
Wow.
And at that point, we were set.
And is that when you knew also like, I can exhale, like I'm going to have a steady paycheck?
Yeah. No, 100%. Because again, what so many people don't realize is, you know, you weren't making very much money at that time. And we were paid per episode. So, you know, it's hard. Math is hard for me, but. So say we shot the pilot February-ish of 2004 and we shoot 1, then we shoot 5 more, then it doesn't air. Nothing is on television until March of 2005. So we got 6 paychecks in over a year.
Wow.
And then we didn't start shooting again until, like I said, like July to do the second 6, like wow. July of 2005. So it really was almost 2 full years of like
living off 6 paychecks per year.
Exactly.
And I'm assuming that's people are sitting there going, oh, you're an actor on it. It's not millions and millions. It's not.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
No, I think the first, you know, I don't want to say it wrong, but I think those first six episodes, I made about $3,500 for one.
Wow.
Those first six.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So that's about 25 grand a year. Well, yeah, I'm not great at math.
Four a year. Huh? Things quickly changed after that, Jay.
But that's incredible.
But
that's,
yeah,
that's unbelievable. You go back and you, and again, for everybody out there who's sitting there going, oh man, this is going to be my dream. You don't understand like the, oh, the pain of that we go through to try and get to where you can exhale and go, I can pay my bills. And by the way, I don't know about if it's like this for you, but you know, it was 11 years of me making $9,000 and man, just being rejected over and over. And you have this fear of not being able to pay your bills. For me, that fear has never gone away. I still think Monday, I can't pay my bills. And I'm horrified. And it's like this monster that builds up inside you and you're always living. That's part of the anxiety that I talk about. Even though I've been on Fox and on Sunday for 20 years, it's still like, oh, Monday, it's going to be gone. I'm going to do something. It's all over. Do you?
Yeah.
It's hard to get over, right? Same.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I'll tell you something else. I haven't said this very, very much. My best friend at the time, and he laughed and laughed and laughed about it later, told me to quit.
Wow.
That show. He goes, that, you know, it's not airing. It's, this is not going to, you know, this is not going to end well. Like you said, whatever it was, you know, $3,000-$4,000 times six, that's a year. And you're waiting. You're just waiting and you're waiting. And you're like, well, I think we have a chance. Again, I felt like we had a chance to be something special, but no guarantees. And people weren't watching. And that's what he was saying. Like, nobody's watching. You could get on another show in a second. Like, just go, you know, tell them to go F themselves and go do this or that. Imagine if that had been me. Yeah.
What could have been?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And were there like non-competes? You're not allowed to do other shows or just?
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, okay. There's some exclusivity, but then because of how I was hired those first six, I could have gone.
Okay.
After that, no, I couldn't have. But at that point, I could have just said, nah, you know, you're not getting pregnant with me. Wow. There's no guarantee. I'm going to go be on Two and a Half Men or something.
Right. How hard is it not to, like, when you're sitting there watching Steve Carell and he's just doing his thing, is it just, you guys are just used to not laughing, or how hard is it not to laugh?
We laughed. We would 100% laugh. And we would try to not, because we didn't want to ruin takes. I had a trick. I had my fingernail, my pointer finger, I would take and I would dig into the skin behind my nail of my thumb, like at my side.
Right.
I would do that so that my brain would focus on the pain of my fingernail going in to try to not laugh.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you have any fingernail skin left.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Would you guys anytime try and make someone bust out?
100%. Always. And that's what he was trying to do. You know, it's funny. He believed that great entertainment and certainly great comedy exists like right on the precipice, right? So it's not like, and it's so, it's so pleasurable when you see Saturday Night Live. I recently watched the Chris Farley Down by the River thing, and you're seeing David Spade and Christina Applegate like laugh totally. Right. That was something we were not allowed to do on our show, but
Spade got in trouble for it.
Yeah,
he did. He got in trouble from Lorne Michaels.
From Lorne. I know. It's so pleasurable when you see that happen, but you know, we couldn't do that. But trying to get someone to that point where they're about to, the energy that is created there, that's what he was trying to do. So Steve really, I mean, we rehearsed and, you know, the cameras had to rehearse and where we were going and what we were doing. But, you know, I've described it before. To me, my recollection was he was like the Nutty Professor, right? Like he was like, all right, you know, like where, you know, and he would have speeches and speeches and speeches in front of us. And he would just be like, you know, like kind of like, you know, as we were like rehearsing and looking at the papers and then he would go away and he would put on his Superman cape, which in the office was that suit and tie like he always wore. And he would come back in and it was all dialed. But I believe he didn't want to give it. He didn't want to give anything away. He didn't want us to see what he was going to do because he wanted that live moment, that live reaction of him doing what he did unrehearsed, essentially.
How close were you guys as a group?
Could not have been closer.
So you, get hung out offset a lot?
Offset a lot. And it's not like, oh, until we became big, like, you know, everybody was over it. No, it was because we just got so damn busy. I mean, we were shooting 30 episodes a year there for a while. But the first year into the second full year, we watched every episode as it aired on NBC at someone's house.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
100%.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's the magic. For any great show, like, look, we all watch college football together, and we used to together go to Bradshaw's room, and all of us together sit there and watch college football and talk all sorts of shit to each other. But like, we as a group, like, we go on trips together. We spend every holiday together. And I think that shows.
Yeah. 100%.
It's the authenticity, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
That's very cool, man. All right. Before I let you go, man, I love having you on here. I ask all my guests this. Look, we've all had journeys to get to where we are. And this could be professional, this could be personal, whatever it is. Give me the one moment in your life that could have broken you or should have, but didn't. And as a result, you came through the other side of that tunnel stronger forever.
Yeah, well, mine's easy. So my dream growing up was to be the first baseman for the Atlanta Braves. That was what I was going to do. I was a decent baseball player. I could hit. I don't know that I was very good in the field, but that was what I was going to do. And I had my bone in the lower part of my leg was not aligned. So in other words, if my knee was straight, my foot was out at not a 45 degree angle, but it was pointed out. So it wasn't lined up. So what I was told was, look, if this is really what you want to do, like, you could live forever this way. But if this is really what you want to do, you've got to get faster and you've got to get your foot and your knee lined up so that everything's working together. So it was a totally elective surgery that I did because I wanted sports. And I went in, and essentially what they do, for those of you queasy, sorry, they go in and they cut both bones, your tibia and your fibula of the lower part of your leg. They realign it with, just like you've broken it, but they realign your foot and your knee together. They put screws and bolts in there, and then a year later they take them out. Well, so I go in, I get this, I'm a teenager, and something goes wrong. They don't know why. It's so funny. I was just talking about this with my parents, like, over the holidays this year. Like, why wasn't there an investigation or like whatever? It was either that the splint that they put on the cast either got too hot, or there was a pressure point where my leg was propped up, or there was some chemical mismixture in the splint. But my leg was propped up. I was in the hospital. After a couple of days, I was like, I'm having pain. And they gave me morphine. And the next day I said, I'm having pain. And they gave me morphine. And finally, by, I don't know, the third, fourth day, they were like, well, this should not be like this. So they cut the splint off, and it had burned through to my Achilles tendon at the bottom, where the base of the cast splint was stabilizing the leg. Something had happened there, and it had burned all the way through. So for a year, I was in a wheelchair. I had a walker. I had to relearn to walk again.
Wow.
Yeah. And have skin, you know, all that stuff done. I mean, I still have at the back of my leg a huge scar back there. And so that, now, whether I could have been, well, it ended my athletic career. I mean, at that point, I think those formative years, you know, they did the baseball league I was playing. They instituted a special rule for me where they let me hit and someone would run for me for a year. But it just, for me, it felt like those dreams, because of this, were gone. Now, you know, it's so silly to say you got someone tearing their Achilles and they're back out there, but I didn't have the training. I didn't have the, you know, the resources at that time to do it. And, or my focus just changed. I was an active kid and I needed something to do during this time when I couldn't do the things that I used to do, which was a sport every season. And so I started doing theater, and that brought me into theater, which I did sort of just at the time as an activity, something to do. I was pretty good at it and outgoing and loud or whatever. And it worked, but I fell in love with that. and really the art of creating characters. But that experience, yeah, changed what I believe to be the trajectory of my life.
I always try and tell people, man, don't try and figure life out because it'll drive you crazy. You never know. Like that's what having faith is. Realizing, man, this thing ruined my dream of athletics. Man, it's over. Why? And if you have faith, you know, a lot of times the universe and God will bring you to where you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
And all your dreams will come true. So I'm sure you're living in a world now where you're saying, yeah, it's as great as the Atlanta Braves would have been.
Yeah.
The office is pretty damn cool.
Yeah. No, 100%. And you know, and this was like, yeah, as a kid, like saying I want to be a fireman or whatever. Like, right. Like who even knows the reality of right. that? Even if this thing goes am I really that good? Is that really right. what I'm going to do? I was good enough. Right. I mean, I was good enough that I got an elective surgery because I wanted to be better at sports. Right. So I did that. But in all likelihood, I play through high school and never again. And maybe I become a real accountant instead of a fake one. Like I don't know, I would not have focused on the theater if that had not happened, for sure.
Brother, I appreciate you, man. That's a great story. I appreciate your vulnerability on that. Very cool, man. It's a great lesson as we all try to build our mental wealth up for everybody here. Brian.
Thank you so much, man.
My dude. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.